The Reproductive Science Center of New Jersey combines a commitment to sensitive care with a state-of-the-art program. We proudly present Fertility Talk with RSCNJ. Here's Melanie Cole.
The male role in fertility by itself can affect up to 40% of couples. An additional 20% of infertile couples have combined male-female factor infertility. The most important goal in male infertility is to establish the correct diagnosis. Here to tell us what to expect in the evaluation of male infertility is Dr. Virginia Mensa. She's a specialist in reproductive endocrinology and infertility at the Reproductive Science Center of New Jersey. Welcome to the show, Dr. Mensa. So when should a man come in for an evaluation? When does a couple decide that it's time to both of them get evaluated for fertility issues?
Well, thanks again for having me on your show today. It's a great question, and ultimately, any time is the right time. We typically see couples that come in, a male partner in particular, to start to be evaluated if there's a problem, if they haven't been having success on their own, really, if it's a couple that's, or woman rather, that's less than 35, typically about a year of trying without success, or if it's a couple that is older than 35, where the female partner is, again, older than 35 years old, we'd say about 6 months of trying. And then it's perfect timing to just come in and see your OBGYN, and oftentimes they will refer you to a reproductive endocrinology and infertility specialist for this evaluation.
So if they do this and the couple comes to see fertility specialists and it is determined that they're going to start evaluating the male, what can a man expect as far as coming in with his partner during this evaluation?
Great question. And it's a very nerve-wracking experience often for a lot of couples just walking into the unknown and not knowing what to anticipate. So for the male, it's a little bit different than it is for the female. For really both members of the couple, evaluation will focus first on taking a detailed history as well as physical examination. Typically, particularly for the male partner, we focus more on just taking a detailed history of things like how long the couple has been trying to conceive for, when they've been timing their relations, as well as important pertinent medical information from the male partner. Things like, is he on any medications? Does he have any particularly relevant health history, like high blood pressure, seizure disorders, things of that nature, prior surgeries, any history of testicular trauma or surgery on the testicles. So we really take a detailed, focused history to sort of elicit if there are any factors that may play a role in this couple not succeeding to the point of them being evaluated by a specialist.
So you've mentioned a bunch of reasons that a man might have issues that affect his fertility. So, and as you said, this could be a very nerve-wracking experience, and sometimes especially for men, because they don't deal as well, especially when it comes to matters of that area. So what tests do you run that could make a man comfortable enough to get these tests done?
Great question. So after we've done a good, thorough history, typically our first screening test is to do what's called a semen analysis. And literally what that is we have the male produce a specimen, whether it's at home through masturbation or through relations with his partner. Or oftentimes most fertility centers will have specialized collection rooms where, again, the male partner will produce a specimen. And then that specimen is then reviewed by our andrologist in order to evaluate the semen and really the sperm for a number of different parameters, which can have a great impact on likelihood of pregnancy.
And how is this collected?
Yeah, so for our center, at the very least, we usually recommend that couples not have relations for between 2 to 5 days, no longer than 5 days, because again, that can sometimes affect the amount of dead sperm that we see in the sample, and no sooner than 2 days. The couple can either, as I mentioned, collect at home, either through him masturbating to produce a specimen, or oftentimes we'll have a couple do relations and through use of a specialized condom, collect a specimen and place it into a sterile container. Either way, if the specimen is produced at home, we usually recommend it be within our office for evaluation within about an hour, because again, things like temperature, pH, time in and of itself can affect the quality of the specimen. Alternatively, if they produce within a collection room on site, again, we would immediately take that specimen to evaluate it. And then ultimately, our andrologist or an embryologist take a look at the specimen under the microscope in order to evaluate it for a number of different parameters, including the concentration, the count of the sperm, or the concentration, as we call it, as well as things like the motility, as well as morphology of the specimen, all of which actually are very important factors in sperm successfully finding the egg and hopefully creating a pregnancy.
Dr. Mensah, explain that a little bit more detailed for us about how it's interpreted, what things the doctor is looking for to tell if it's abnormal. Explain to the listeners a little bit about what morphology is or the motility. Just give a little more explanation.
Absolutely. So semen or sperm is rather judged by criteria, which are fairly well delineated by the WHO. And what we're looking for when we look for what's normal versus abnormal really focuses on primarily four major areas. First, we're looking at the volume. We like to see that the semen specimen itself is anywhere between 1.5 to 6.8 milliliters. So really having lower than that number can be concerning that the male partner is not ejaculating sufficiently. Another parameter that we look at is the concentration of the sperm. Normal, based on, again, the WHO guidelines, is typically about 15 million sperm per milliliter. However, having less than that can sometimes be concerning that there is something going on with respect to sperm production. Motility, that is essentially the ability of the sperm to swim. And in particular, there's another component of motility, which we call forward progression, which is, again, the ability of the sperm to swim in a forward direction and not sort of swim around in circles, which sometimes they do, believe it or not. But we grade that based on a percent of motility within the sample, and we'd like to see, at least for forward progression, at least 32% of the sperm in the sample swimming in a straight sort of direction. If we see less than that, again, that potentially suggests that we need to further evaluate what's going on. And then lastly, the morphology, which is essentially the size and shape of the sperm. We specifically look at things like the size of the head, whether there's one or two heads, are there one or two tails, things like that. That is graded specifically based on another criteria from the WHO Kruger criteria, which essentially allows us to say whether there's a lot of normal sperm present or not. And we look for about at least 4% or greater for normal morphology. And if it, unfortunately, the specimen falls into a category less than that, then we usually say that there's some level of morphology issue in the sperm.
That's fascinating. It's a great description of it. So what are some treatment options available to the man or the couple in the event that the male is infertile?
Great question, too. So really, there's a number of questions or number of options, rather. And the issue really becomes trying to further identify what the particular issue is so that if it can be corrected, then we would correct it. If it cannot be, then oftentimes we have our answer as far as treatment going into more aggressive treatment, such as in vitro fertilization. But first and foremost, once we've done the semen analysis and once we get results back, let's say there is an issue with concentration, oftentimes we'll do further testing, typically first a repeat semen analysis, and then that gets followed by additional hormonal testing or genetic testing or a urology evaluation to further define if there is anything that is correctable. And oftentimes, if there is something correctable, then yes, we would go ahead and either through a urologist or through hormonal treatment correct or address it. So for example, if it's an endocrine issue where the hormones are low, like testosterone as well as hormones that sort of tell the testes to produce sperm, then add back treatment with injectable medications can often improve those sperm counts so that the couple can either continue to try on their own or do further fertility treatments with intrauterine insemination. Alternatively, if, let's say, the issue is not necessarily easily correctable or the workup doesn't show anything obvious, then oftentimes treatment can include things like assisted reproductive technologies, more specifically things like in vitro fertilization cycles with what's called intracytoplasmic sperm injection, or ICSI, which is essentially where we do a lot of the hard work for the sperm itself in terms of fertilizing the egg directly with the sperm.
Wow. So wrap it up for us, Dr. Mensah, with your best information about male infertility, the treatment options available, and just some of the general reasons that males might look to problems. Maybe there's a way that they can prevent it or some lifestyle modifications you would like them to consider when they're trying to get pregnant.
Absolutely. So to the first, or rather last part of that, certainly just like we recommend for the female partner, healthy lifestyle is a very important first step in hopefully creating good sperm. So maintaining a healthy diet, plenty of fruits and vegetables, also not engaging in toxic habits like smoking. We know that that can actually have a very significant negative impact on sperm count, as well as other drugs like marijuana, et cetera. trying to cut back on those habits is always a good idea. Again, those as exclusive causes of male infertility are a little bit more controversial, but they can certainly contribute. And there are a number of other known male causes, including just hormonal issues, as I mentioned, or genetic issues, et cetera, that, again, would require evaluation of a fertility specialist in order to elucidate them. But ultimately, I would like the male partner to come out very reassured that, you know, ultimately, even if an issue is identified during the evaluation of them, during fertility testing, we have a number of treatment options available, which range from medical treatments, including oral medications or injectable medications, and then ultimately other things that we can do to help include artificial inseminations, or IUIs as we call them, or more aggressive treatments such as intracytoplasmic sperm injection, or ICSI, and oftentimes in the setting of a urological issue, there are procedures that reproductive urologists can perform in order to retrieve sperm.
Thank you so much, Dr. Mensa, for being with us today. This is Fertility Talk with RSCNJ, the Reproductive Science Center of New Jersey. For more information, please visit fertilitynj.com. That's fertilitynj.com. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks so much for listening.